1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready for it. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For you are God's fellow workers. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. God bless the reading of his word tonight. We tend to think of the church in Corinth as a problem church. But really, if you look at the details of the background and the details of the letter, in many ways you could say the Corinthian church was a very blessed group. You look at how the church was first started in Acts, and Paul preaches the gospel, and many come to faith. In fact, Paul even gets this vision, meshes of encouragement. Stay there, Paul. There's many, many of God's chosen ones that are right there in the city. Paul stays a long time. Many come to faith. It's a growing church. It's a thriving church from that standpoint. The last chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians show that it's an incredibly gifted church. You look around and you see all sorts of gifts of the Spirit, God giving these gifts to build up the body. And this is on the surface of it, a church that's really doing well. It's growing. It's gifted. We can start to see even some of the connections with Emmanuel. Here we are. Things look very good. God, over the course of our history, has had us growing. He's given us wonderful people with wonderful gifts. This is a wonderful thing. But Paul still has challenges for them. He has dangers that they've fallen into that he wants them to turn from. And dangers that we need to be aware of, that even for good, growing, gifted churches, things that we need to be careful of. And that's where we begin. The watch out, the look out. One of the major problems here in the Corinthian church is divisions. Watch out for divisions. There's our first point. Paul has talked about it earlier in this letter, and now he gets into it in a little in some detail. Divisions within the church. The church divided up into these factions, one waving the banner of Paul and another the banner of Apollos, as if these were the ones that they rally around. These were the ones that gave them their identity and their position, their pride. And Paul, the thing that clearly comes out here is how upset Paul is by it, how he speaks about them because of this divisions. He calls them of the flesh. He says, I can't address you as spiritual people. Now, this you might know from Paul, this distinction between spirit and flesh is a very key way that Paul likes to talk about the entrance of the gospel into the world. Flesh is that which characterizes the present evil age. And spirit is that which is identified and wrapped up with the age to come. That age which Jesus inaugurates with his coming, that kingdom which is here and coming in its fullness, spirit. And Paul says, as he talks to them about the divisions among them, he says, you're acting like those who have more to do with the present evil age than you do like children of heaven, citizens of heaven. Now, he's not calling them non-Christians. It's very, very clear from the context. But he's talking about the way they're acting, the way they're living it out. They're acting flesh-like. They're acting worldly, we could say, right? In the sense of this present age. Now, he's going to tell them later that they're actually new creations. They're actually a part of that age to come. But they're not acting like it. And here's Exhibit A, their divisions. Following human leaders as if this gave them identity, and this becomes the source of separation between them. They're not united. They're not the one we talked about this morning. Instead, they're broken up into cliques and factions. Even in the midst of what is on the surface a successful, growing church, it can happen. Even in churches that look really good and that do really well. So here's a challenge and a warning for us as a church here at Emmanuel, especially in these days with so much going on, so many opportunities, exciting days when it seems like we're advancing. And there's no reason to believe that we're not, spiritually speaking, and doing well, but there's a watch out. Watch out. As we said this morning, the evil one would love to sneak in and use this as an opportunity for divisions, and we must guard ourselves against it, even when on the outside things seem to be going well. So we guard against divisions. How do we do that? Well, Paul specifically here says he wants to focus, we guard against divisions by focusing on the right view of how God works in his church. The right view of how God works in his church. God uses people, but he is ultimately he who causes the growth. God uses people, but he causes the growth. The first thing there is that God uses people. You see that description coming out as Paul talks about this. This really, of course, is the main issue. The Corinthian church is too focused on people, as if people were ultimate. And Paul's going to correct that notion, correct their notion of who Paul really is, who Apollos really is. And he starts by saying, yeah, God really does use people, right? What does he say? Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. You see, there's this very important balance to understand. It's not that Paul and Apollos did nothing. They played a very critical role. God used them. It was God himself who sent them. God, the Holy Spirit, who empowered them with gifts to proclaim, Paul to lay the foundation, right? He says what the foundation of the building is. It's Jesus. Paul going to Corinth, where no one had ever preached the gospel before, he lays the foundation. Then Apollos comes and builds on that foundation, helps to mature the church and get it established. These are no small things. God does use people. And that's an important thing, even as we think about Emmanuel in the days ahead. If we're going to grow and thrive as a church, we can expect that God's going to do that through human instruments, people like us. People like us who God will strengthen through His Spirit, that God will give gifts through His Holy Spirit, that God will give opportunity to serve, opportunity like Paul to serve sacrificially. To serve sometimes when there's not as much appreciation or applause as we might hope. And so there's an important reminder that we're going into a season when it's going to involve the people of God doing a lot of work, being involved. And that's an important thing. God uses people. You can expect Him to use you. I was reflecting earlier with some of the members of the session and some of the trustees, that I do think if God continues us down this path of the church building, I wouldn't be surprised at all that the timing corresponds to where we are. Because I feel like in the last couple years, God has put a lot of very strategic pieces in place. He's put people and gifts here. This seems to be a good time for us to take a step like this. He's put the pieces together. Now, of course, God could always do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But God likes to use people. Weak instruments, sinful instruments, but he likes to use them. He gifts them. And he uses them. So we can begin to think, well, what role might I play in the work, in advancing it? Not just in physical structures, but if this does what we hope it to do, expands the work, what's my part in that? How has God gifted me? How can I serve? How can I encourage? How can I be part of that building on the foundation? God uses people. Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gave the growth. There's the corrective that the Corinthians so desperately needed. They were focused on just people. The people as the very end of the equation. And Paul says, no, really, it's God. It's God. People don't build the church. God builds the church. People are but servants. They're but instruments. They're but laborers. God is the architect and he is the builder. He's the one who gives the life to the plant. If you played around in gardening at all, you know you can do all sorts of things, but the ultimate growth comes when you're not there, when you're not involved. You're just involved in a very indirect way, and it just goes. It's outside of your power. And therefore, gardening is a growing things, farming, a good example of this. And you can do the right things, but sure, if it's going to really happen, it's got to be apart from you. God's going to have to make it grow. Same with the church. God calls us to be active, calls us to be engaged, to be laboring in the hard work of watering and planting. But ultimately, it will be God. And it's important for us to remember that ahead of time, even as we're hoping for God's work here, his church here to expand. We need to get ourselves ready that if any success is going to happen, real spiritual success, it's going to be God. Because danger comes not only in fighting, but danger can come in success. And that could have been part of the problem in Corinth. It's growing. Hey, we got a great thing going here. Right? Perhaps that was part of it for the Corinthians. This is great because we have Paul. Or we had Apollos. That's why we're growing. And there's part of the danger with us. If we focus too much on people, we could begin. We got a great thing going here at Emmanuel. We are a good group of people. That's why God is blessing. That's why he's providing. Success can be as dangerous as struggle, spiritually speaking. Because that pride, well, it goes before a fall and certainly doesn't glorify the Lord. What will correct us? What will guard us? Reminding ourselves that, yes, he calls us to labor, but ultimately it's going to grow. It's going to be God doing it, and he'll get all the glory. Of course, that also, that principle will free us from fear. Especially when you step out, there's always that fear of, well, what happens if something gets messed up? What happens if we mess it up? Well, if it's ultimately God who cares and causes growth, well, it frees us. And we try to act faithfully, we try to act wisely, but we give it into his hands and trust that he's going to take it. And of course, it also urges us to prayer. It urges us to prayer. Wow, if really it's God who gives the growth, we need to be praying because we can't do it. We could work and work and work and think and plan and strategize, and it could come to absolutely nothing. It could come to absolutely nothing apart from God's providing, God's building, God's growing. So we need to be people of prayer as we move ahead. And we must, as we look at the end of the chapter, build with care. Build with care. Here in verses 10 and following, Paul switches the metaphor. He's been talking about a plant growing, the work of the harvest, and now he switches to that of a building. He's building something, God is. Specifically, if you keep reading, he's building a temple. It's building a temple, a place for God's Spirit to dwell. That's the church, right? And it's not a building on the other side of Route 70. It's a building of God's people. And he talks about materials with which the building is built. Well, there's a foundation. That's Jesus. It's laid once. It's done. It's there. It's Jesus. But then you build on top of it. You build the structure on top of the foundation. And he says that there's all different kinds of things we could build. We could put on top of that foundation. And he names some of the precious materials. He says gold, silver, precious stones. I've been reading through Exodus recently, and you know, that's the stuff that they built the tabernacle out of, and all the tabernacle stuff, gold, silver, precious stuff. Right? Yeah, that's it. God's building a new tabernacle, a new, better temple. Right? It's not the one Solomon did or they did back in the days of Moses. This is the better. This is the fulfillment. It's the church. God's Spirit dwells within us, and we're the living stones. We need to use those quality materials, Paul says, because you can attempt to build with shoddy materials. Wood, hay, straw, stuff that won't last, stuff that will burn. Paul talks about the materials being tested as you move into eternity and the Lord comes back. This isn't any reference to purgatory, if you're wondering. It's talking about the work itself being tested, that it's possible to try to build the church in an ungodly way or a very flawed way, and the work come to nothing. It doesn't produce lasting results. You could still be a believer and be saved, but the results not really endure for eternity. And here's a good challenge for us as we go into a phase where especially most of us here are probably going to be pretty busy in the days ahead. The challenge is, are we busy with the right stuff? Are we busy with the right stuff? That you can be really busy in a church. You can be swinging your hammer and putting up rooms and walls and it not last for eternity. And that's what Paul really warns against as he speaks about building in such a way that fits the foundation, that lasts, that endures. We want to be those who build in a way that fits the foundation, right? The foundation is Jesus. So the materials have to match. The foundation is precious, so the building has to be precious in its quality and matching the foundation. So everything that we do has got to match Jesus. It's got to be done for his glory. It's got to be done in such a way that advances the proclamation of his name. It's got to be done in his heart. You could imagine the temptations. We could be very busy and miss Jesus. We could be very busy on getting a building arranged and outfitted and ignore the church member who's hurting, and fail to care for them and encourage them and build them up, or fail to greet a visitor, or fail to take advantage of an opportunity to share the gospel, or miss an opportunity to minister to one of our little ones. How we could lose Jesus and his kingdom right in the midst of being very busy. God needs to protect us from that. Again, it pushes us to pray. This is about his glory. And it's about his building, not that building. It's about his church and building in a way that honors him. And so we'll seek to have his heart even as we pray. And of course, the message of God, the one who does the growing and does the building, is an encouragement. It is an encouragement. His Spirit is among us. We don't have to be fearful. We take his corrective. We learn from it. But we charge ahead in great faith. He is building his church. Jesus promised that not even the gates of hell can withstand the onslaught of this church. So that gives us great confidence as we think about the larger kingdom. It gives us confidence to trust in him. God is building his church. He calls us to work. He calls us to work in faith. So let's ask for his help to do even that. Lord, we do pray for help, to your help, your Spirit, to give us great wisdom, to help us to labor. Lord, even as a body here at Emmanuel, we don't know what you have in store for our future, whether it is times of great thriving or times of more humble labor. But Lord, we pray that in all of it, we would be fixed upon you. We would be focused upon the foundation, even Jesus. Lord, that we would interact and labor in such a way that uses the gifts that you've given to us as a body, but trusts ultimately in you and in a way that befits your love and your glory. Help us, Lord, we pray. Guard us and guide us, we pray, again, for Jesus' glory. In his name, amen. Amen.